I knew a lot of things were going bad in my life once I'd even been clean for enough time to really think about it. I'm not very old, I'm 25 years old. I'd realized that my life had just been stalled out, or I wasn't going anywhere, I wasn't doing anything. I just like started isolating myself from even my close friends. I didn't have anything.
This is Yaj Monen, and I'm Kyla Katnedu. We're a podcast out of the Pokagon tribe in southwest Michigan and northern Indiana, and we're telling stories of our people reconnecting with culture, reviving traditions, and reclaiming their heritage. Yaj Monen means story in our language. So here's another. This is part two of Jacob's story. If you haven't listened to part one, pause this and do that now. It's the previous episode. Jacob was on probation at age 23, still not ready to get clean, but attempting to anyways. He checked into a 30-day residential rehab clinic, but not a week passed before he left. He still wanted heroin more than sobriety.
My parents called me at like 11 o'clock that night, and it was on a weeknight. I had to work the next morning.
This is Marcy again, Jacob's mom.
And told me that he had just called and said he checked himself out and was walking to Eau Claire. So me and my husband got in the truck and went and looked for him. He didn't have a phone or anything. And we found him walking, brought him back home, which a lot of people told me then, you should have just left him walking, and I couldn't. The probation officer called in the morning, wanted him to come. I was at work. So my father took him to see the probation officer, and pretty much we all knew that he wouldn't come back from there, and he didn't.
Police arrested Jacob there in the probation office. Jacob had money to bond out, but the judge wouldn't set an amount. She said he'd be safer in jail than out, where there's heroin.
That was absolutely the worst 3 weeks of my life. Like, absolutely. Seemed like my heart broke every single minute of that 3 weeks. Could not hardly function. I came to work every day, but my mind was somewhere else completely the whole time. Although I felt like I knew at least he was safe and wasn't using drugs, I didn't really know what was going on at jail, if he was okay there, if someone was hurting him, or, I didn't know. So to me, that was a very horrible time in my life. I went and saw him on Thursdays at the jail, and I had to see him through a glass. And to me, that was the most awful feeling in the world. So I would put my hand on the glass and he would put his hand on the other side and tell me that he loved me. And I just wanted to die. I didn't want to have to see him like that. Although I didn't want to have to see him on drugs either. But either way, it was horrible. It was hell for me.
Why do you think seeing him in jail affected you so? More so than him just using?
I think I didn't want him to end up having a life that involves trouble all the time, being in jail all the time. I want him to succeed and have a good life, be happy. And I didn't want to see him like that, caged up like an animal. I didn't know that they were like going to offer him the program. It was called the ATC program, Adult Treatment Court. I didn't know they were going to offer him that while he was there. And then when he went in front of the judge, he could decide whether he was going to accept it or not. And he did.
When I went to jail, I didn't want to get clean. I mean, I was just, had I not got drug court, I probably wouldn't have got clean. I probably would have withdrew in jail. I would have laid around thinking about how I was going to get high for 6 or 8 months. I'd have got out and got high that day. But I stayed in jail for about a month. went through, you know, all the withdrawing and stuff. When I got out, I got on Vivitrol. I went right from jail. Before I went even back to what was my home, my parents' house, I went right out to get my Vivitrol injection and then came home.
Vivitrol is one medication the tribe prescribes for addiction. Other places use it too. It's a monthly injection that blocks the body's receptors to opiates, so no amount of heroin was going to get Jacob high.
So at that point, just getting out of jail, being like a month clean, I knew even if I went and got high, I wasn't going to feel it because of the Vivitrol. And number two, I was probably going to end up going back to jail if I was to get high.
The judge ordered for him to do the Vivitrol for a year. And at the time, I remember thinking to myself, at least this has bought me some time.
What do you mean?
Bought me some time of knowing that he won't be able to use drugs for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a year of knowing that he's going to be safe, he's going to be clean, he's going to be healthy, and not be at risk for ODing and dying. At the time, that was really as far ahead as I could think. But if he agreed to be a part of the program, that he could go home that day, back home with us, with me, and which my husband at the time completely did not want that to happen. And basically, he told me I have to choose between him or my son. And I told him, I don't think you or anyone should ever tell me that I have to make that choice. I said, but the choice is always going to be my son, every time, any way, anyhow, it's always going to be him. We just kind of went into nothing mode, me and my husband, from there on out. And then I was just completely focused on, I wanted Jacob to get healthy, get clean, to start remembering what everyday life was like again without drugs, and that he could be happy again without drugs, which he did start realizing. And he even told me that several times after a few months that he started to remember what it felt like to be happy about things again, and just to feel good without being on drugs. At one point, he said he even used drugs just to not be sick. It wasn't anymore just because it was something to get high with.
Right.
And then we both started understanding a lot more about addiction, that it's not something you choose to do. Maybe in the beginning, it's a choice you make to try drugs. But it ended up being where we understood it was a sickness.
A sickness without a simple cure, or rather, without a single cure that can be applied to just anyone. Jacob says it best.
Different things will help different people. Different styles of meetings will help different people, whether it's groups or whether it's a one-on-one counseling or whether it's like a spiritual, religious-based recovery or cognitive-based. Just find something that works for you and, you know, work it.
Yeah. Do you think that might be partially why it's difficult to help people, because we each function differently and different treatments help in different ways?
Oh, yeah. I think so, yeah. Some people, you know, they don't give it enough of a chance to really try, you know, multiple ones. Me, I was kind of forced with the court to try it, which now I'm far enough into the court thing where I can pick and choose which ones I do. ATC is what I'm in.
ATC stands for Adult Treatment Court, often just called drug court. On the face, it's an intense probation. Between 6 and 10 in the morning, Jacob texts in his schedule to his probation officer. During his first 30 days in the program, he also called to check in twice every night at 6 and 10, just to confirm he wasn't using. Drug tests 4 times a week, 12 to 15 hours of recovery classes or meetings a week. The schedule does not allow much opportunity to return to old habits. That's kind of the point. Jacob went to meetings and his house, and that was about it. He couldn't even contact friends.
For the most part, no friends, no, like, a lot of people aren't even allowed to contact, like, their grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. They want you to just keep your world small, kind of focus on yourself, and not even, a lot of people aren't even able to contact their kids mm-hmm. for a while, which is hard for most people, but it's not forever.
None of the treatment is. And yet, recovery lasts the remainder of a former addict's life. And the care Jacob received was available to him strictly based on his enrollment in a federally recognized tribe.
Luckily, me being Native American was the reason I was able to even get the Vivitrol shot. Mm-hmm. Most people don't have access to that. If they do have access to it, it's going to cost them a ridiculous amount of money because it's very expensive. It's a sad thing that it is so expensive. Because it helps people quite a bit, I think. It helped me. It helped me tremendously.
How long were you on those Vivitrol shots? Are you still getting those?
Oh, no, I got them for 1 year.
Okay.
So I did get them. I got them for quite a while. I got out of jail, I think, May 6th of 2016. I got it until, like, May of this year. So I've only been off the Vivitrol shot for, what, almost 6 months now? 5 or 6 months.
Did that scare you at the time, getting off of those?
Yeah, it did. But you're going to have to do things in your life that are going to be scary. Even when you start working and you get some of the things back where you're able to hold down a job and stuff, kind of getting stressed out sometimes and thinking, man, it'd be nice to get high right now. That kind of scares you, like, but you're gonna have to deal with things. Definitely as much as you can, try to not put yourself in those positions. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, you're going to have to pay bills if you want to have homes. You're going to have to go to work. You're going to have to get stressed out. And you're going to have to get through it. You can go to a meeting. It ain't like you got to just sit and dwell on it all day. You can go to a meeting. You can get the Vivitrol shot. You can talk to your support systems, whether that's your friends, your family. Maybe you have a counselor. I'm sure I'm leaving out some. But there's just different tools you got to use to get through those things.
How do you stay positive? How do you keep on the path you're on?
I would say my biggest thing would be gratitude. I'm happy with just where I'm at, the things that I've earned and have gotten lucky enough to still be able to get after going through my addiction. Gratitude helps keep me positive more than anything. Like when I'm really, you know, having that bad day and stuff, I just, even if I'm in like that bad kind of state of mind, I'll just go home, chill out, and if I'm really, you know, feeling bad or whatever, that night I'll go to a meeting. Or, you know, sometimes even if you're feeling good, you need to go to a meeting. And it's just a way of, you know, kind of feeling yourself out. You kind of have to get used to it. There's no one thing that's going to work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you got to feel out what works for you, what helps in your own thinking to keep you positive. The key is, you know, they have to want to be helped to an extent. Some people just get to that point where they, like, actually are ready to get clean, and some people just aren't ready. There's no really complete rock bottom for people, I wouldn't say, except death. Everyone just has to realize it on their own time. Some people don't want to get clean until they, you know, until it's too late.
It wasn't too late for Jacob. And after a month of maintaining a clean body, his spirit started feeling clean, too.
Once I actually got clean for even just like a month or two, long enough to really think about that and start noticing physical, emotional, and mental changes in myself after just a little bit of time, I realized, you know, that I could turn it around, you know, that it wasn't actually too late and that things weren't that bad not using heroin, like, not only not that bad, but things were a lot better. I would say you slowly kind of realize it as you're going from at first. It's just changes in your body, changes in your mind, just kind of how you think, how you feel, until eventually the realization of, you know, you could have a normal life, you can actually even have a good life, gain things that you had just thought, yeah, normal people have that, but it's just never going to happen for me. I mean, I was 23 years old, you know, and I was to the point where I kind of thought I had missed the boat. Like, it was too late for me to ever get back to having a normal life. And there probably really wasn't no logic and thinking that way, but you don't think logically when you're in active addiction. So,
what do you see for yourself for your future now? What do you want?
I want to just keep doing what I'm doing, honestly. I mean, eventually I would like to have a better job. Right now I work at McDonald's, so it works. It, you know, it pays the bills, but since I've gotten clean, I have a vehicle. I had an apartment, but since then I've met a girl that I moved in with, that our relationship is based on, like, personal interests that we share, not just the fact that we get high every day and we both do it every day. Mm-hmm. That's, before, that was all my relationships were based around with women, was just, oh, you get high every day, so do I. You know, let's hang out.
Perfect.
Yeah. We're now, we live together, you know, we both work. I would like for it to just keep going like that, and maybe eventually just keep moving up. Ideally, both eventually get better jobs, able to buy a nicer vehicle, better house maybe even at some point, and able to, you know, like take vacations and stuff. But it's crazy even for me to think that it could happen, like, within the next couple years or something. That is a possibility, where 2 years ago, it wasn't even, like, in the realm of a possibility to have any of that, or any of even what I have now. So
it's small things.
Yeah, it is.
But important things.
Yeah, it is. It's small things that can really keep you going, and you gotta just stay focused every day, and day to day. If you don't think you can stay clean today, just try to stay clean for the next minute, the next hour. You know, if day to day is too much, take things hour by hour, take things minute by minute, and just try to make the next best decision.
Marcy was on her own transformational journey. Her marriage was ending, but she knew that wasn't her end. She wanted to get healthy, just like Jacob was, but in a way that she needed.
And you've lost how much weight?
131 pounds.
Did that have anything to do with this time in your life?
On New Year's Eve, when the year turned 2016, I decided that I was going to be healthier. I wanted to be healthier and show Jacob that I could be healthy too. And I wanted him to be healthy. And my father and all his family have diabetes. That's like a huge thing in their family. So I was terrified of that. So I went to started taking walks all the time, sometimes twice a day. While Jacob was in meetings, he couldn't drive anymore because they took his driver's license. So I would drive him to his meetings. And sometimes I decided to just walk during the 2 hours he was in his meeting, or however long. So sometimes it was twice a day. I was walking for hours at a time, just thinking about everything, just being by myself, and in the process trying to get healthier also.
So you were getting healthier right alongside Jacob.
Yes. I started wanting to walk and be out doing physical things, not only to be healthy, but like to be in my own mind for a while, like to just think about my own things, my own life, Jacob, things like that. Just make decisions that would make me happier and healthier also. Like, here I am telling Jacob all the time, you need to be healthier and happier, but yet I wasn't doing it myself. That was kind of a path we took together.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Thank you.
Diabetes, addiction, they plague Native communities, and the Pokagon tribe is not immune to either.
Yeah, I mean, you see it. You see it around, you know, people that you know are Native that are addicted, that you see out and about, whether that's in certain areas of a neighborhood that aren't good, whether it's at the bars, whether it's this and that. So it was something I was aware of beforehand, but it wasn't something I really gave too much thought to. But yeah, I'm definitely aware of it now.
I actually know of some people in Dowagiac that have grown children that are using right now, and I don't really know if I could tell them what they should or shouldn't do. I know now that Jacob tells me that I did the right thing by just telling him that I loved him every day and hugging him. Because he said that, I think, Mom, if I would have thought that you had washed your hands of me like people told you to do, he said, I don't think I'd be here right now. He said, because I think I just wouldn't have cared. Because he says that a lot of times when he would use drugs, he said that always in the back of his mind, he would feel guilty when he thought about me. Other people that were using drugs with him would say, nobody cares if I use drugs or not. Nobody cares if I OD today or not. And he said he would always say, my mom cares. My mom doesn't want me to do this. And he said that that kind of always made him not want to do it. And then he said when he was in jail, all week, he said, until Thursday, visiting day, everybody would say, I hope my mom comes to see me, or I hope my girlfriend comes, or I hope my sister comes, or whoever. He would always say, I know my mom will be here. I don't care how mad she is at me or anything else, she'll be here. I don't really know what I would tell someone else to do or not do, because I have no idea if what I did was right or wrong. I still don't. Like I said, he tells me that I did the right thing, but I'm not sure. Because sometimes I think maybe had I done things different, it wouldn't have went on as long as it did, or that he wouldn't have ended up in trouble. I don't know.
Is that hard, not knowing?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Because I don't know what's the right way or the wrong way.
You just know what happened for you and your family.
Right.
Recovery is like fashion. It's never really finished. You know, you're never really, it's never really done. You never get to a point where you're like, all right, that's in my past. Now that I'm fully recovered, I'm over it. Just like fashion, it's going to keep moving, and there's going to be different things, different stresses, different triggers that maybe you never realized 5 years ago. You got to work through it. I'm really, really happy to be where I'm at with everything, grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure exactly how it is like being real addicted to other drugs, but for me, my choice was heroin. I fell in love with it the first time I tried it. To this day, and probably till the day I die, I'll always love heroin, but and there's other things that I love more.
Paige Risser and myself produced this episode, and I edited it. Our music is by Bobby Lynn. Once again, thank you so much for these songs. Thank you for listening to Jacob's story, Marcy's story. This is not the end of our opiate awareness campaign. There's more information going up on our website, sharing on our social media. We have another citizen story that we're going to be sharing. We're going to take a break for next episode, but then in April, you'll be hearing from Thomas. And his story is different from Jacob's. He discovered opiates in a different way for different reasons, and his life now is just unbelievable. It's amazing to see what life after addiction can be. Because it can be great. Addiction is not the end, and I think that is a huge part of these stories. And until then, Bama P, be with you again.